D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, the game broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. We are live at the brand new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky, just over the Tennessee-Kentucky border. Come on out. We highly recommend it, and we thank Circa Sportsbook for its hospitality, not just for our program, but Chase and Big Joe earlier as well. And now we are pleased to be joined, as we are every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. Hope you are.
We are. We are loving our setup here. We highly recommend you make a trip up to Franklin, Kentucky, and check out this new sports book.
Absolutely. I've seen some of the shows today on YouTube. So, yeah, it looks cool. It looks very cool.
So, Hutton, we got to get your thoughts. Look, we haven't touched on it today. I think a lot of Titans fans want to move on from it. But I want to get your take on the scuffle, the skirmish, the kerfuffle, the confrontation between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons at practice. Cam Ward addressed it today. Jeffrey Simmons addressed it yesterday. A lot of different opinions on this. Trevor Maddich had a strong opinion on this yesterday. He called it, quote unquote, ridiculously immature of Cam Ward to instigate this scuffle, skirmish, however you want to call it. Cam Ward said today, it's what the Titans needed. It's about competition, all of those things. So where do you stand on this hot button issue, Cam Ward versus Jeffrey Simmons from earlier this week?
Well, our theme going back weeks now has been about energy, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe the tone at practice. And I, when I heard about this, I'm thinking, man, if Cam Ward's not involved in a story at practice, I don't get any sense of, any developments like this. You know, like it's just kind of, do they just go through the motions with the rest of it? Two snaps left in practice, Jeffrey Simmons getting thrown out with two snaps left. No, it doesn't seem like it was coming to throwing fists. But look, you can't shove the quarterback. But at the same time, we're talking about Big Jeff here, Jeffrey Simmons. You're gonna get in his face. He's gonna get after you. So this goes back a little ways too, because if I recall, Callahan during minicamp referenced the fact that those two were talking trash to one another. It doesn't surprise me, but it sounds like Cam Ward was trying to get some competition going and got the best of Jeffrey Simmons. Maybe JC Latham did on the previous snap. This fits the mold of Jeffrey Simmons. And it sounds like Cam Ward's totally fine with talking some trash himself, which we also knew. I didn't make too much of this, simply just based off of the reports that came out of it with a shove and we've seen instances where we don't see the quarterback get helped up off the ground. I like the fact that the offense is taken up for their quarterback.
We are going to do this exercise in our next segment, but I want you to help us preview it.
Okay.
We are going to do this over the course of the season. I believe this is the second time we've done it. The first time being immediately after Cam Ward was drafted by the Tennessee Titans. We're going to do a Cam Ward vibe check. So okay. I want your Cam Ward vibe check after a couple of preseason games, five series, everything you've read about in practice. How are you feeling about Cam Ward as the preseason nears its conclusion?
He's one of the few aspects right now of this team that I feel like is trending in the right direction. The depth is really bad. They don't have many solutions, it doesn't feel like, on defense, although linebacker looks better than what we expected. If it's not Jeffrey Simmons or Tavondre Sweat, I don't know what they're going to do on the inside. I don't know if they have a pass rush. Legarius Sneed, maybe he plays in 18 days. We'll see. We can go position by position here. He's a rookie quarterback leading a rookie team, is what it seems. I think he's been good. I think it's been a good camp for him. He has provided some energy to the team. And if we're not talking about him, I don't know what we point to right now. that's excited about the upcoming year just based on what we've seen. Everyone expects this team to be bad. They don't have a lot of star-studded talent. They're trying to develop that. He's the glimmer of hope that you get excited about when you just look at this roster. So with all that being said, I don't think it's been it certainly hasn't been a total bust of a camp. And I, on the little that we've seen in the preseason, although I'd like to see him more, I think everything's been okay. I don't think it's been spectacular. I'm not ready to crown him Jaden Daniels. And they certainly haven't won the month of August, but I think they've won in the category of, we know who their quarterback is and what they can try to build around now. And now can they elevate the overall play? I like the makeup of what I've seen from Cam Ward.
I think, Jonathan, they've won the fan base thinking, okay, Cam may be the guy.
Sure. That
no one's out on Cam, but they're like, okay, we've seen some things that makes us believe as a fan base that, okay, he can be the guy. But the problem in that is they look at him, but then they look at the roster and say, well, he may be the guy, but that ain't the roster right now.
Right.
So with that being said, we talked about the development of and what you liked about Cam. What do you think of the coaching staff? Because that was a big question mark coming in too. Would Callahan and his coaching staff, we talked about how inexperienced some of the coaches were on his staff. Now he does have some experience on his staff, but when you're talking about coordinators, it lacked experience. But how do you think they've done thus far? What they've done thus far based on what you've seen last year.
Look, I mean, I like what they've done with Bones Fossil as the coach of special teams. I want to see Denard Wilson in year number two and the adjustments that he makes in order to generate some pressure from a defense that doesn't have the individual pressure packages that you just click release and all of a sudden the release the hounds and they get after the quarterback. I mean, we've discussed this. He's got a group right now that will they have a player above six sacks of the season? It's pass rush by the sum of the parts. I don't like the way that looks, especially with the way the secondary has looked, Mace. In terms of talent and development, I can't judge the coaching staff right now until I get to December and see how this season progresses, because that's where the development of this young roster, we have to see how this thing turns over and look, start with Callahan and work your way down how they handle some pressure moments as a staff. We're just getting started here. When you start going position by position, how many solutions do you have as compared to like questions? They've got to sort their way through it. I don't see a staff that's done anything to show me, Mace, that, this is a drastic change and, they saw the light and all of a sudden everything's, now headed down the right path. I don't know. I can't say that. They're working with what they have, but at the same time, they're expected to do a lot better than what we saw last year. I think the upgrade at special teams with the experience there, bringing him in, Fossil, and an offensive line that looks much better than the group we saw last year, that can make a world of difference. And in some of the areas of concern that were awful for this team a year ago, they were 2-5 or 2-6 in one score games. Defense couldn't get a stop when you needed one. And the quarterback didn't have time to throw it or was making egregious mistakes. Now they have a rookie back there who's going to make mistakes. There are going to be lessons learned across this season. Can the other spots pick up the slack where he has a rookie moment or two? That's yet to be seen, and game plans matter. And last year, did we focus or point out much of a game plan quality to a three-win team? No, I think we need to see more of that.
Now, cut down is what? 10 days, somewhere around there.
I think the 26th, cut down on the 26th.
Yes.
I think it's Tuesday.
Tuesday. So they, after this game, they'll be getting ready to cut down the roster to 53. In that, what position or what move would surprise you? If they kept a guy or cut a guy, what would surprise you? Or nothing because of the roster is so. Yeah,
that's what I was
going to
say. Like, there's not many. Where's the battle? You know, mm-hmm. I was doing a Titans season preview with a station up north earlier today, and they were asking me about this, and I was just like, that guy's like, they're asking about the depth. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't really tell you where somebody's like truly pushing for a starting role other than a linebacker. Like, we're centered on that spot. And it's not like this is a veteran heavy team that's just rolling it back off of a playoff run last year. It's a young group that you should have a lot more position battles, in my opinion, than what we have. So I don't know if I'll be shocked with anything other than like, it's not like Van Jefferson's getting cut. Mm-hmm. Would they swap one of the specialists? No, I don't think at this point they haven't even brought in other kickers. I think, you know, keeping more than two quarterbacks, maybe, like if they kept three, you know, that would be a surprise. I'm trying to like, even the receivers, we're going seven deep and it's pretty easy to figure out who those guys are. It's a rare occurrence in a camp where you have a team that was as bad as they were a year ago and turned over a lot of positions and players and really don't have many questions about what we're going to see lineup wise, come week one in Denver. You know, I won't say I'm surprised to see L'Jarius Sneed off PUP, but, you know, I'll be surprised if he's ready to go week one. And we see him in Denver, like playing the way he was in the five games, we saw last year. But as far as cut down day, I mean, what would you be surprised at? What am I missing?
You're right. You're the linebacker position, like you said.
Linebacker?
A receiver. I think Porche makes the team. Restrepo and Jackson, I think they
practice
are candidate,
squad.
Practice squad. I think both of them are candidate for practice squad.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you're right. They're
looking for guys.
Yeah, they're
it's
looking
not like,
for
hey,
guys. Yeah.
That's right.
We've got these three NFL guys in mm-hmm. the last, they're just looking for guys. It's the opposite of what you would hope for with a deep roster.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, they're competing. The guys that feel like they're on this roster mm. are competing with guys who are about to be cut on the waiver
right.
wire,
which is really the question. I think mm-hmm. Hutt, is that, and I don't know the league well enough, right, at that level. But I'm wondering if there are two or three guys they could take advantage of that would be clear upgrades. You can already tell they've been trying to do it. They've been able to pick up a few mm-hmm. guys here and there that are veterans that have played some that they clearly think are better than what they have. So do you think there's one or two that we could say, hey, you know, that guy will help us?
Absolutely. I mean, I think more than that. I mean, let's be honest here. We've seen the depth play this preseason. There'll be some quality players that are, you know, in the opposite of the discussion we're having right now where it was just a numbers game. You know, like they lost out on because a team's really heavy at receiver. They're only keeping six instead of seven. Maybe a receiver gets dropped somewhere that can help this team come in and help solidify this group. Maybe it's a tight end. Maybe a running back for sure would be an area of interest for me. Corner. Let's also say at the tackle swing spots on the offensive line, good tackles don't get cut, but there can be upgrades where you find someone who's better than some of the options that they have right now on the outside of the line currently.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So, Jonathan, I don't know how much you guys have hit on your show, what's going on in Tennessee. I have seen a swell of people in the aftermath of the Adidas deal, getting the real lucrative deal, that just after that, they have announced that ticket prices are going to go up again. And there's some, you know, nobody ever likes when they raise the ticket prices, right? I get that. But it does make you wonder how much do you need, right? I guess the answer is, they still need more if they're going to raise the ticket prices.
Well, I mean, if they need as much as Texas, I guess.
It's truly an arms race, right?
Yeah, I know. And look, at some point, don't we reach a point where we stop handing over all the dollars? Like, To me, like, if I'm the billionaire that's running, that's owning the college football program, at some point I'm getting tired of, the program coming to me like, hey, can we have $5 million, please? Think about that. Like, can we have $20 yeah. million dollars? You might have, like, over and over again. As long as they produce results, fans will keep paying. I mean, the loyalty's there, but I see keep paying up to a point. Like,
they're selling it. They have the demand, right? What you read is they have like 25,000 people on a waiting list to buy the tickets if people don't like the prices, right?
Yeah, and I mean, how many programs right now can do that? There's not many that can do, like, raise the prices and just say, hey, this is for talent.
Like, yeah, I mean, and they're saying it, right? They're saying it up front.
They are.
Hey, we're charging you this because we want to be able to pay our athletes the best. We want the best people. So it's like you're incentivized. Yeah, let me pay more so we can get the best players.
Yeah, we're helping this. And, hey, this is this is the exact reason why there is no mulligan year for Josh Heupel because of the quarterback situation. This is Exhibit A right here. So it come December, I know everyone's kind of like, oh, it's a, you know, the quarterback situation is what it is. And that's all true. But Heupel's not going to be feeling that in December if the things go awry. Let me also add this in. This is why I don't think this house settlement is going to hold up in court once they're sued again. Because there's a clearinghouse that is overseeing, like, fair market value for certain things that players can get paid for, meaning, like, if a car dealer wants to pay Arch Manning $500,000 to come sign autographs for an hour, what's the fair market value of an hour of signing autographs? Like, they're going to try to corral that. But then you have Oklahoma charging $600 for fans who can now upgrade their ticket to go to the media room and sit in on the post-game press conference. Like, what's fair market value for sitting in a post-game press conference?
I still can't believe that.
Let me tell you, as someone who has attended those news conferences, has participated in those news conferences, there is not a dollar amount in the world I would pay. Well, maybe like 50 cents. Like, you don't want to see us schlubby reporters asking questions. There's nothing glamorous about it. I read that and I was like, you have got to be joking.
It's anything for money, right?
You can pay who's doing it, where you can – is it USC or Oregon, where you can run out with the team? Fair market –
Vanderbilt was selling pieces of the goalposts, right? It's just what everybody's doing now.
They're
saying that, oh, we're going to do this, but you can't get paid X amount or on the other side of things. That's why it's all just craziness. And it, at least from the Tennessee perspective, and Chad and I haven't talked about it from this angle, from the Tennessee perspective, they're just out front and saying, like, here's the tax that now goes towards talent. So for all the rules and all of the overseeing, and we want a governing body and we want parameters, it's the fans who are ultimately paying everything. For all the universities that were crying poor because we had an open, all of the awful collectives were taking all the money that was going through the university. Well, now the fans are just being charged more. That's ultimately all that happened here.
You're pushing the limits. And I've always wondered when the NIL first came out, like, you were already going to the fans as a school and saying, hey, we need you to donate to the Commodore Club or the Vol Club or the Crimson, whatever you call it, because we need the facilities. You know, but now you're saying, hey, we need that money. We do need the facility. But D-Mace, now we got to ask you to the Spartan Club for double because we got to pay the players on top of all those facilities and locker rooms.
Well, didn't UT say that when they rose prices, I think, last year?
Well,
they've been upfront about it.
But this is interesting to me. I had a friend of mine who is a very good business person, and he was a very good player at his school. His school came to him and said, hey, you played for us. Can you help with the NIL? You know, we need money. You know, this is new. We got to get into this game. And he's like, look, that's not interesting to me. I could do it, but that's not
right.
I'm going to come to the games, and I love my school, but I'm not interested in paying athletes. I didn't get any money. You know, and he's kind of going against the grain. Like, this is working. People are raising new heights of money in this, right?
Let me add this in. And look, I'm not criticizing anyone when I bring this example up. There are people who helped raise money to in order to pay George McIntyre to go to Tennessee. that's for a player who's not even playing. So, like, you're going back to the coffers after all of that, right? And mm-hmm. By the way, I want to say the fans are paying. At some point, where do we – maybe we're already reaching this point where I remember growing up, my dad would take me and my brother to – I remember the first college football game I went to at Neyland Stadium was Tennessee and Arkansas. We sat in the upper deck. We had, like, two hot dogs and a Coke or whatever. And I don't know how much he paid, but I don't know if he would be able to do it now for that experience for his sons. Like, at some point, you max out the true hardcore fan base that is trekking across the state to go to Knoxville. Like, that was, you know, and it's not just Tennessee. It's everywhere. But at some point, don't we reach that threshold? I don't know if, again, the 20, 25 programs that are able to do this because their fan base is seeing success and seeing the benefits of it. At some point, you just simply say, well, I've already have five streaming services. I don't need a sixth, right. You know, and the only reason you're getting it is because the NFL's on there.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow from Outkick joining us on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick as he does every Wednesday at 5:00. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
One preseason game left, gentlemen.
Thank goodness.
We've made
real
it. We've made it through the long August. One more game to go.
We are on pins and needles waiting for the actual start of NFL football, real NFL football. Thanks, Hutton.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yep.
615-737-1025. All right, I mentioned it to Hutton, and now I'm mentioning it to all of you. We need your help. 615-737-1025. This is something that I want us to do periodically throughout the NFL season. We are going to do a Cam Ward vibe check. How are you feeling about Cam Ward through two preseason games, five preseason series, all of the reports out of practice? How are you feeling about him as the preseason mercifully nears its conclusion? Are you feeling better about him than maybe you were at the beginning of training camp? Are you feeling worse? Are you feeling the same? It's time for a Cam Ward vibe check. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
We just don't talk about Cam Ward enough. Look, we talk about him, but Cam Ward, I think, is uniquely positioned right now to be one of the number one overall picks that we wind up going, I see exactly why he was picked number one overall. Mm-hmm. I think he has transformational ability in terms of his effect on this organization. You hear the stories coming out of there about how he is challenging established veterans who I wouldn't challenge to anything. Mm. Okay, I ain't saying anything to Jeffrey Simmons, let alone push him in the
like
back.
Like ever.
You know what I mean?
Ever.
And this dude has no fear. He did it at Miami. It was a calculated move from Washington State to go to Miami because he knew people wanted to see if he could do it on the biggest stage. He is an alpha in every sense of the word, and the kid is super, super talented. And they've got some young pieces on the perimeter and an offensive line that they've invested a lot of money in and draft capital in. Tennessee's going to surprise. Brian Callahan, you've got a lot to work with.
Yeah.
And Cam Ward, I think, is going to have one of those seasons where we go, that's right, they made the right choice taking him number one overall.
Yeah, I think what we've...
That was ESPN NFL analyst Lewis Riddick.
You got to give him credit. He's been consistent. He is all in on this is going to work.
As we learned firsthand a few weeks ago when we had Lewis Riddick on this very program, so passionate about Cam Ward, it required David Janes to hit the dump button on at least two occasions. So we know that Lewis Riddick loves him.
David. I remember.
David had to hit the dump button. Sat back down
and had
to get right back up.
It was like up downs, you know, D Mays in the preseason practices. You do the up downs, the burpees.
He needed conditioning. That's what it was.
Tell him, David.
Preseason conditioning.
They need to put the dump button closer to you, man.
They really do.
The dump button is on the other side of the room.
For the next time, we have Lewis Riddick on the program. But we know that Lewis Riddick loves himself some Cam Ward. So this is what we're going to do. At 615-737-1025, and I think it's something we're going to do periodically throughout this Titans season. We are going to do a Cam Ward vibe check. The first time we did this, Willie, I don't think you were in that day. It was me and Derek, and I think it was right after Cam Ward was the number one overall selection by the Tennessee Titans in the NFL draft. But now a few weeks into training camp. He's played in two preseason games, five total series. The Jeffrey Simmons incident happened earlier this week. I thought it would be a good exercise to take the pulse of the fan base and get a vibe check on Cam Ward at this stage of his young NFL career. So 615-737-1025. You let us know how you're feeling about Cam Ward at this stage of the preseason. Let's go to our friend Adam from Portland. Adam, we are in your neck of the woods today. Thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
I know you are. Don't spend all the money on them slots, man. here's the deal, man. The thing I thought about Cam before was the exact same thing I think about him right now, which is that he is an alpha dog who has all the talent and all the confidence and is delusional about how terrible his team is. That's the problem. Like, he's still – I think those linebackers are going to get him in trouble. I think about that play down the left sideline in the first preseason game that should have been an interception. I think that's going to show up again and actually cost him when it counts because they're better corners playing in the regular season. But at the same time, I see so much that I like. He's just he's an alpha among a lot of puppies, man, like a lot of terrible players. Peyton Manning was a great quarterback his first year too, but he made a lot of mistakes because his team was not up with him yet. So I think Cam has to just stay consistent in what he's doing. I love him. I'm as high as I could be on him right now, but I think I don't feel any differently than I felt before. He still has a terrible team regardless.
Thank you, Adam. The vibes are immaculate when it comes to Cam Ward, at least according to our friend Adam in Portland. Now, we talked about this earlier this week after Cam Ward's performance against the Atlanta Falcons. The numbers versus what we've seen on tape. The preseason numbers, they're not great. 7 of 15 passing, a completion percentage of 46.7%, 109 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He has yet to make a big-time play that has been completed. We talked a lot about the pass to Van Jefferson. That would have been all over every highlight reel had Van Jefferson caught that ball. But there haven't been too many highlight reel plays from Cam Ward that you're going to see on SportsCenter because the receiver caught it, like Shedeur Sanders had in his preseason game or Jackson Dart has had in his preseason games. We have not seen that from Cam Ward. But I think Adam's point is one, Derek, that a lot of Titans fans have. Yes, the numbers aren't sparkling in the preseason, but there is a lot to like about the way he processes the game or attacks the game, at least. Mostly processes the game. He's, as Adam mentioned, the one play in Tampa that should have been an interception that wasn't. But I think Adam's point is a lot that Titans fans have. That, and you said this the other day with Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons, the alpha dog mentality. Mm-hmm. How many Titans players have had that outward alpha dog mentality, at least in recent years?
There hasn't been many on our listen, we can name them on offense. Over the last, 4 or 5 years. And I'm sure first name comes to mind, and I'm just talking about the offense, is Derrick Henry. I think Ryan Tannehill had it in him. And before that, Delanie Walker, obviously. And then the offensive line, when it was rolling, I mean, all five of those guys were just maulers when they were at their peak, Taylor and those guys. But since then, they've lost some of it. And I want our listeners to understand about what preseason is about. It's about developing. Numbers don't matter when it comes to starters. It really don't. Numbers do not matter. It's about development because you're not getting the many snaps anyway. You just want to develop each and every time you go out there on the field. You want to look a little bit better as an offense, as an individual. Stats are for those guys that are fighting for a roster spot, those bottom guys. You know, that when they make three or four catches in a game, it's like, ooh, it's like great. But you got a veteran guy, he's making three. It's just like, okay, this is a part of what I do. We're developing all as a – so when you look at Cam's numbers and you've watched the last two games, again, the numbers does not indicate how much better he has gotten from game one to game two. It doesn't. And frankly, if I look at his tape, I think he's I wouldn't say he's right spot on track to where the Titans predicted or he wanted, because I know they want better. But I'm sure he's closer to being right where they thought he would be right now than not, because in the first preseason game and the second preseason game, you saw a guy develop. You saw a guy that was throwing to the right spots. Guys just wasn't catching them.
But the vibe check, I like this concept because okay. I will give you my vibe. I agree with everything you're saying. He's progressing. I like a lot. But I am not vibing anywhere close to where Louis Riddick is.
Well, to be fair, is anybody vibing on Cam Ward like
but,
Louis
but
Riddick?
Look, you know I'm a glass half full guy.
Indeed
but
you
are. I'm also a person that thought it was better. The numbers, the probability was better to trade the first pick. Mm-hmm. I will stick by that, even if Cam Ward becomes a star. Mm-hmm. Look, I am not a talent evaluator. I thought Will Levis would do a lot better than he did last year. I could not conceive of him doing that bad, and he was that bad. Mm-hmm. I look at Cam Ward so far, and I'm like, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Mm-hmm. I don't see a Joe Burrow, a budding star. I'm not seeing that right now. I know I'm factoring in that he doesn't have the weapons and things like that. I don't know if you've got that special guy that you hope you have with the first pick. And we went over yesterday all of the different guys in the last 25 years who have been picked with the first pick in the draft, the quarterbacks. There's 20 of them. They range from total bust to Hall of Fame. I think Cam Ward's in the middle. That's just my vibe right now. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I vibe him in the middle.
Let's quickly go to Jason in Hendersonville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Jason, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
My opinion is still about the same, 70, 30 against. And it's I get what Dean Mace is saying about, you know, but, you know, I'd have to disagree with the numbers thing. You're seeing so many good, positive plays out of the backup. I mean, I talked to you last week about, you know, who's going to be the starting tight end, and you thought Chig was going to be it, and look what Gunnar Helm did, and he was playing with the so-called backup quarterback we have, double covered. He throws it into a tight window. You know, we're not seeing that from him yet. We're seeing balls wobbling out of his hand from time to time, balls being batted down. Now, we all love his work ethic. There's no denying that, and we're all hoping that work ethic is going to help him improve and improve quickly. But I don't see a very good year on the horizon for him for many of those reasons. In that Van Jefferson pass, that ball was too deep. It was on a rope. It should have dropped. It should have come in there and dropped in there a little bit more. I would like to see another route exactly like that and see if he learned from his last mistake. Because that was on the quarterback. That wasn't on the receiver. That ball went right off the tips of his fingers. Van Jefferson stretched out there and tried to get it, and he couldn't get to it. So, still 70-30 against, and I'm hoping that's going to change after the next preseason game and especially the first game that he plays. I'd like to get to a 50-50 spot with him, but don't care about his height as far as – my opinion on a quarterback, I don't care about the way he can't spin a ball consistently like most other NFL quarterbacks can, and the number of balls that are getting batted down. And I do focus on those numbers, preseason numbers. As far as I know, it's some of the lowest numbers in the league right now, preseason-wise, as far as quarterbacks coming in trying to make a name for themselves. I mean, look at Shedeur Sanders. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, we got you.
Thank you, Jason. Derek, quickly, do you want to react?
Yes and no.
Say yes and react.
Yes, okay. Van Jefferson.
Do it in 20 seconds.
Should have been caught by Van Jefferson. That's one. Coming from a receiver, that ball should have been caught. Was it a perfect ball? No, but it was a catchable ball. And anything within our radius, we need to catch. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he hasn't gotten any balls batted down, I don't think, in the games, Willie. We talked about that in practice. and it seemed to be getting better. He didn't get any balls batted down. And the third one, the ball coming off his hands a little wobbly, it happens sometimes. When you've thrown the ball enough, every ball isn't going to be a spiral. You know, every ball isn't going to come out like Warren Moon or Dan Marino. You know, it's not going to come out spinning perfectly. You know, so I wouldn't worry about that, caller. The ball not spinning. I wouldn't put too much stock in that pass he threw to Jefferson because that was a good pass, and it's coming from a receiver. I'm telling you, that was a good pass. And he's not getting any balls batted down in the game. So that's all I really care about. But I understand your concern as a Titan fan.
615-737-1025. Cam Ward, vibe check time. How are you feeling about him now that the preseason is a couple of weeks old? We will continue to take your reaction and wrap up the show next. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Darnick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, wrapping up our show from the brand new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. We want to thank Circa Sportsbook for having us out here today. An outstanding setup, a great place to watch sports, and quite close to downtown Nashville, a roughly 35 to 40 minute drive without traffic, and that's a big if when it comes to our city, but very close to downtown Nashville. So,
and if you've never been here before, if you've been here a long time ago, I will say it, like I have, because of the Vegas Golden Knights, that's the only reason I've gone to Vegas, but I've been there now many times since the Golden Knights have been in the league.
Yes.
You walk through a lot of places that look like you know you're in Vegas. When you get inside here, it is first class. You look like you're in, you easily could be in Vegas, right? With the sports book there and all the odds and the things. If you're into that scene, this is absolutely worth the short drive to come check this place out.
Derek Mason is absolutely going to play some slots on his way out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to pull a slot one time. I'm going to have to pull it one time
but
as I'm walking
thing,
out the
though,
door.
Do they actually still have the pull things? Because a lot of
it
is touch screens.
You push the thing. Yeah, you got to push
the button.
But
that's not as satisfying
it's
as
not.
As
I get
pulling
if there's
the lever,
a satisfaction
right?
you get from pulling that lever.
Now, I was too young for the pulling the lever era.
No, I wasn't.
I was all about the hitting the button era.
It's still the hit. It's the hit the button era now, right? It's still that era.
Well, all of these slot machines, they're like big phones, basically.
Yeah.
You just touch the big touch. They're big touch screens.
I can't wait to get on one of them.
Well, you will be in roughly 10 minutes, but
yeah,
we don't. We do have a show to
Dang
wrap
it.
Up here.
No.
But also, speaking of betting and sportsbook and sportsbooks and all of those things, I am excited to say, next Thursday, August 28th, the return of Silly Underdog Picks.
Boom.
College football season is back. Last season was the Pearl anniversary, the 30th anniversary.
And who won that one? Who won that one? The guy that's waving the yellow towel? Yes.
No, you
yes.
Want to take
no,
it
you
to
did
the
not.
Bank.
Dang it! Dang it! I was thinking the wrong
Need
thing.
I
Who
remind
run that, Chris?
You would like
Who run that, Chris?
Sanders. Need oh, I remind
my goodness.
You that Chris
yes.
Sanders
You
won.
Don't remember he picked
yes.
Vanderbilt. He,
yes.
picked Ohio State to
yes.
lose against Michigan,
yes.
and Michigan won.
He
won it
right.
easy.
If I recall correctly, the final standings were Chris Sanders, yours truly, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason.
Yeah, y'all cheated me. Y'all cheated me out of a couple
points. Derek was waving the towel like he won
y'all
last
cheated
year.
Me out of a couple
points. No
I won a year before that. That's what
you
I
did.
Was waving
you
the towel.
You did win
yeah.
it 2 years ago, yes.
Yeah.
I do want to thank Jackson Dart because I picked Florida to beat Ole Miss near the end of the season.
Yeah, and Jackson Dart had a bad game.
Had a rough
Didn't he throw
game.
Like 20 interceptions?
He threw some picks, and it cost him a playoff spot.
Yes. So Jackson Dart helped me out in this competition. But Silly Underdog Picks will resume next Thursday. Looking forward to that. Let's wrap up our show with our continuation of the Cam Ward
vibe check.
The vibe check. I want to know how all of you are feeling right now about Cam Ward. We are going to do this throughout the season. We're not going to do it every week. We may do it every 3 to 4 weeks. But I want to do it right now that the preseason is almost over. I want to give a shout out to Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, because I love the way he laid this out. Pre-draft vibe, 6 out of 10. After draft trade proposal from the Giants, 5 out of 10. Now, 6 out of 10. hopefully 7 out of 10 by Christmas. So from 6 to 5 to 6, hopefully to 7.
I like how you're looking in big picture things. Because to me, we can't get too tied up in whether it was 3 for 7, mm-hmm. 5 for 7, or 2 for 7 in the preseason game. We have to look bigger.
Yes.
And that was my whole thing. Like the numbers to me in preseason, they really don't matter much when you're talking about a guy that is entrenched as the starter, where they're making him the starter. And yes, the numbers don't look great, but if you actually watch the games, I think you feel a little bit better. I'm not saying you believe he's the end all be all, but I think if you watch the game and then looked at the numbers, you would feel better about what you saw actually on the film rather than the numbers.
One texter says, I agree with Adam, not me, Adam from Portland. The texter says, I agree with Adam from Portland. From the preseason games to his mentality and scuffle with Jeffrey Simmons, and just like Adam from Portland said, this team is terrible. But when it gets the right pieces around Cam, it's going to be fun to watch. I think he's improving so far. I don't think he'll have a Jaden Daniels type of season, but I think he'll be pretty good. Rough at first, but I think he'll be improving as the season goes. Kyle in Shelbyville says, I feel like Cam is right where he needs to be in his growth and development. I still don't see him having very much success this season with these weapons. If Cam had a strong number two receiver, I'd feel much better. And I think that's an important distinction, because we're going to have to separate Cam Ward's development from the production of his receivers. I go back to what Trevor Maddich said on our show yesterday, as Willie, you asked him about the chances that Cam Ward is taking. I believe his average depth of target in the preseason is 11.5 yards. That's right. A big number.
A high percentage of his passes are going down the field.
That's a big number. And Trevor said he likes that Cam Ward is testing his limits, but it's also about testing his receivers to see if they can keep up, so to speak. So I think it's important, Derek, that we separate Cam Ward's development from the play of the players who are catching the ball. Because Cam Ward, as we saw with Van Jefferson in Atlanta, he can make a great play. It's up to his receiver to complete the play. And I think it may be tough for some Titans fans mm-hmm. to separate those two
things.
Yeah,
it is. And believe me, I get it. I understand. But I just want y'all, because we are in the era of recency bias.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to look at, just think about the last game that he played, the last preseason game. You look at the pass to Van Jefferson. To me, that should have been a catch. You look at the other the pass where they were backed up, and it was 3rd and 13, I believe, and mm-hmm. he threw an in cut. I think that may have been Iyo Manor.
I think it was Iyo Manor.
Iyo Manor. If Iyo Manor is reading that correctly, Cam Ward threw it away from the defender and right where Iyo Manor should have been. Now, Iyo Manor will learn better how to read coverages and be able to, you know, slide over just a little bit more. But he hooked it up instead of coming out of it floating to the next to the actual open spot where Cam Ward threw it. Then there was another one to DK where DK was lined up as the slot. He was the second receiver inside of a 3-by-1 set. So it was a receiver, then him, and then another receiver on the outside to the strong side, 3-by-1. He ran the outside release go fade route. That ball was put on the outside arm, his left hand, over the top of his shoulder. Now, they should have called pass interference, but that's another one that your receiver has to fight through to catch the ball. It was a perfectly delivered ball where only he can get it and not the defensive back. But he didn't. Those are passes that when you look at it and when you're objective, you look at it and say, that was a good pass. Now it's up to the receiver to do his job and catch the ball. People are just looking at it as a drop or catch. It's not that simple, people. It's really not. So I look at this pass game and say, Cam took another step in his development. Is he there? No, he's not there yet. But from the first game to this game, he's reading the field much better than he did the previous game in the previous practices. He's not having any balls batted down, thank God. Hopefully that will continue. But he is developing from the first game to the second game, and I expect that in the third game.
B-Man says, I can't give my take on Cam until I see Friday night's last preseason game. I'll give it to you guys on Monday. That was not the assignment, B-Man. I am not giving you an extension on your homework assignment.
Right. It's a simple, how are you feeling right now? It's just in the
how
moment.
How are you feeling right now, B-Man? I never asked for an extension on my homework in college.
Just tell us how you feel right now.
I feel like today's teachers are a little more giving with the extensions than my teachers were. My teachers like, why? You gotta come with something better than this for an extension. There are no extensions unless it's for real.
Yeah. I left my textbook at school.
Hey, can I get an extension? It's like, why do you need an extension?
Exactly. I left my textbook at school. Well, that ain't gonna fly. You left your textbook at school. That you should have took it home.
Textbooks are all on your phone now, probably, anyway. I don't know. But that'll do it for us today. We want to thank the brand new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky, for having us out here today. A wonderful setup. We highly encourage you to come up here to Franklin, Kentucky, a short drive from Nashville, and enjoy some live sports and some sports betting. We will be live from First Horizon Park tomorrow. Sounds and Louisville. We will be live from the ballpark. Looking forward to that. Chasing Checkers coming up next.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Wednesday. I love you. We love you. Peace.